How much closer can we get with our walk than when we are in the Word and that we're when we are in prayer? So let's do both of those things right now. Our scripture reading is on page 1504 in your pew Bible. And I will be reading Matthew 6, 5 through 13. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have been received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of the many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. So this, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. May God bless the reading of his word.
How are you doing this morning? Good to see you. Good to see you back here. How do I do that? It's going to work. Are people breathing down my neck here? I'm not used to that. Hey, it's really good to be here with you. My name's Sean, and I get to pastor over at Shelter Covenant Church here. And I've been a part of Church Without Shoes, which is a kind of a gathering of pastors, probably 30-plus pastors, Jesus-believing pastors in our valley. And we gather together for prayer, to seek God's face, to be with each other. And we see ourselves as one church in many congregations. Amen? And we are really seeking God's breakthrough for our city. And we all want to see God's breakthrough in Concord. Amen? And the Holy Spirit and his world. But we need to do it where we are. And so we've been, you know, for 15 years fighting for unity and getting along and breaking all of our protesting over our years together, and just have seen a lot of fruit from being together. And one of the fruits of this is we switch pulpits every year. And so the way we do it, which has been really fun, is it's a pretty spiritual thing. We take either a Giants hat or an A's hat, depending on where we're at, and we all write our names and we put it in the hat. And so, Bill Drew, me, for you today. And so it's God's will that I'm here to be with you guys this morning. And so this is just one of the fun things we do. We've been going to retreats together every year, and more just because we believe we really are one church, right? And we see everything else in our world splintering more and more. We know the church in terms of the splintering and division and the separation that's going on. And to be a people that want to say, hey, in spite of our theological differences, our cultural differences, everything, we want to stay together and be one because of Christ. Amen? Amen. And so being here today is kind of a representation of that. And so thanks for welcoming me. Thanks for, I had to come a long way, like back there to here. And so one of the things that you need to know is I love your pastor, Bill. You guys love your pastor? Guy is amazing. When he first came, you know, I think he's from Indiana. Is it Indiana? Right? That's what I thought so. I'm like, all right, buddy, good luck here. And so we're like, come on, move. We're going to take care of you. We're glad you're here. And I've just watched him grow and mature and say, hey, you know what? I want to fight for this congregation. I love the people at First Press, and I want to be their pastor. And what I see just ooze out of Bill is a pastor's heart, First People. He cares about you guys. And so when we were together, we're praying for you and for our congregations, he's always just, you just see his heart for you guys as people. So you guys have a great pastor. And so I just want to encourage you to just take care of him. Amen? Right on. And then the last thing, this congregation, you guys have been around. You guys are a solid group of people in this community and very important to the kingdom of God. Amen? And so so never forget your who God has made you as a people, called First Press Concord, in terms of your influence and who you are in God's kingdom in this place. Amen? And so you know it's more than Sundays. This is the place where we gather to get encouraged and inspired and trained. But really, he's called each of us to be out there and going, hey, we want to see this prayer actually become reality in the world. Amen? And so that's what I love the season of Lent. Okay, I'm kind of a sacramentalist, so I love Lent. I love entering into this 40-day season of Lent. And so a few of us as pastors, what we're doing is we're actually doing this series together on seeking, living out of God's presence through the Lord's Prayer. And so we're just kind of going around what we would say are the six main parts of the Lord's Prayer. And so each week you're going to focus on a different element of that prayer with Bill. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to do all six in 20 minutes. And that'll be the end of the story. You won't need to hear anything else on the Lord's Prayer ever again. It's going to come to you from me in 20 minutes and you're going to be dialed in. Not going to happen, right? You've all heard more sermons on the Lord's Prayer probably than you know what to do with. And you all say, amen. All right. But the thing I love about the Lord's Prayer is a friend of mine once said, it's shallow enough that you can jump into the kiddie pool end of the pool and you can swim in it and it makes sense to you. At the same time, the Lord's Prayer, you can jump into the deep end and never hit the bottom. Amen? And so I've watched myself grow over my 20-year journey of following Jesus from how I used to perceive the Lord's Prayer when I was kind of a young believer, new believer, young dad, now older teenage dad, and all the way to some of you out here who've been living this journey with Jesus and you still haven't reached the bottom of the Lord's Prayer, right? And there's always more. And that's what I love about it. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do things a little bit different. I'd like you to, you have your little bulletin, okay? It's actually a big bulletin. Take that out. On there, there's the six kind of parts of the Lord's Prayer. Like you grab a pencil, piece of paper, have that paper there, and we're going to actually not teach on the Lord's Prayer, we're going to actually do it here. Does that sound good? Okay, so we're going to do that instead. And so Leanne already just did a fabulous job on the Father part, right? I'm a good dad. I don't want to give my kid a rock. Amen. That was brilliant theology. I just want to tell you right there that, I mean, I went to school for seminary education, and that was way better than anything I got. I just need you to know that. We can almost like wrap it up. Every children's sermon, you go, I'm done. Let's just go. What am I going to do with that? Right? That's what I love when we get to have children's sermons, because they just are simple and make sense. But really, when we think, when we're talking about posture, we're talking about our posture in terms of our understanding of who God is, the character and essence of God, right? Is God a good heavenly Father? And we all say, amen, yes, we know that. But how in the midst of life and everything, and our own life circumstances, our own growing up, the way we look at the world, everything, how do we keep coming back to this place that God is a good Father, right? That God in his character is saying, I want to, as a good Father, I want to bless. That's who I am. That's all I want to do. But sometimes, you know, there's stories in scriptures like we have the prodigal son. So one son says, I don't think you're a good dad. I'm out of here. You're holding out on me. The other older son thinks dad's holding out on him as well. right? And so one of the things of posture is, how do I move beyond the posture, maybe the other son who takes off, and move beyond the posture of the older son who thinks the father's holding out on him, right? So here's the question. Just write this down. How has God been a good father to you? Just write that down. And I want you to take a second, and I want you to, I'd like you to, I want to invite you to, write down a response. Now, I got like about 1 minute left on this one. So you can write down one thing. But we're in a season of Lent. So we're in a season of a posture of reflection, of a posture where we're saying, I want to have more self-awareness around how God has been a good father. So how has he been good to you? And maybe over this season, just let that go deep. Swim in that. What do you do when some of the contradictions and the paradox of life comes up? Do we keep pressing in and saying, God is still good? And how do I know that? I'm letting you write right now. But we also have God as not only a good heavenly Father who is holy, but he's also a king. Jesus came and he was a king. Amen? And so when we think about his kingdom coming and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, what we're saying is we want, and what we know is the king, we want his rule and reign to be on earth. So whatever is happening up in heaven is what we want to have happen on earth. Amen? It's not, and this is the theological shift on this. Let me just do a quickie. This is what they paid me the big bucks for, all right? Is we've probably been taught often that what we're trying to do is get saved so Jesus saves us, forgives us our sins, so we can get to heaven. The problem is Jesus came from heaven to earth. He went the opposite direction, right? And it doesn't mean that that's not important. But really what the king is saying is, the king is saying, I want heaven to come to earth. I want his rule and reign to come to earth. And so if God's a good king, a father who is a good king, we want his rule and reign to happen on earth as it is in heaven. What we're saying is, when the king speaks, it happens, right? If ever a king said something, it just happened. And so what we're doing here as his children is saying, we are submitted to God, Jesus, as our king, and we want his rule and reign. We want what he says to happen on earth as it is in heaven. Then we live as his heirs, his princes and princesses, and we have that same authority and power that he's given us to have that happen. Think about that as a posture during this season. What does it mean for you to have that posture of sonship and daughtership, but have it from the king who's called you his children? And then that leads into provision. Give us our day, our daily bread. When I think about that, do we ask in childish ways, like some of my kids do when they're little, daddy, 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 and they just bug, 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 which was part of the text, right? And keep asking them, I'm like, right? Or do we ask in childlike trust, God, are you going to give me, daddy, are you going to give me a rock? Are you gonna, can I have a sandwich? You know? And a good dad, of course, is going to do that. But some of us, and we realize in life, right, we lose jobs, we lose houses. We wonder if the daily provision is going to be there. And the fear sets in. And so here's my question. Where do you need God, the Lord, to provide for you right now? It could be around relationships. It could be around you're hungry for hope. It could be you're hungry for a job. And what is that deep need that you have right now? And is God is a good father? Will you keep pressing into him in a way of a posture of trust that he's going to provide that? Write that down. And that could be your 40-day reflection. What's he saying? And then he talks about forgiveness. I was thinking about this. I'm wondering how much unforgiveness has stolen our energy and our joy in our lives. Like a backpack over the years. We may say we're Christians, but we harbor deep resentments. We've had some deep things happen in our past growing up. And I remember just processing my own need to forgive, you know, growing up in an alcoholic family, right? That stuff doesn't go away very easy, does it? We have these things in our life. And so forgiveness is a posture that we is an ongoing practice in our life. So let me ask you this. Who do you really need to forgive over this season? And it's not, oh, I just forgive them. It's, I'm going to bring them to the cross and say, the King, Jesus, the judge, has died for this person. And what they have done to me, will I offer them and give them to Jesus on the cross? That's some serious stuff. Amen? I mean, this is what we signed up for. And until we begin to experience the freedom of that, we often don't experience the presence of God, which is what we really want. Amen? And unforgiveness in our lives leads to bitterness and deep resentments and powerlessness in our lives. And we just totally get stuck. At the same time, some of our own sin, we live out of the guilt and shame and what we would say is not forgiving ourselves, which is nonsense. Because Jesus is the only one who can forgive, right? We don't need to forgive ourselves because we bring ourselves to the cross. And Jesus, as the King, is the one who's forgiven us. We need to receive it. So where is that in your own life? So one for you and one for someone else. And so process that in terms of a posture over this Lent season. The next one is temptations. I like to think of the word as guidance in some ways. Temptation is kind of a lapse in faithfulness. And over the years, in our maybe our younger years, it's certain things, but in our older years, it becomes different things, where the temptation to be unfaithful. But it's interesting, Jesus faced three temptations. And here's maybe a way to look at the idea of falling into temptation or needing his guidance. We might need his guidance through our appetites. Jesus had the power to turn that rock into bread, right? You have the power to do a lot of things in your life when God maybe say, please don't. And so we always constantly need to feed our appetites, whatever they are. And Lent is a real good season to say, I'm not going to feed my appetites. I know this thing owns me more than I own it, whatever it may be. There's also the need for approval. Some of us live in this constant cycle of needing people to applaud us or approve of us, and so we have these really unhealthy relationships that we haven't been able to make healthy because we always need somebody's approval to make us feel good about ourselves. Maybe something to reflect on during Lent. And the last one, Jesus had to face his ambitions. Satan said, hey, here's all the kingdoms for you. I'm going to give them all to you. Just bow to me. And so we all have the ambition in our lives that's driving us. And Jesus was able to say no to all of those things. He didn't throw himself off the temple. He didn't take all the kingdoms in. He didn't turn rocks into bread. He had the power to do so and chose not to. And so we all have those three same temptations in different ways deep in our lives. So when you start swimming in the deep end of the Lord's Prayer, you realize there is no hitting the bottom on that. Amen? There's stuff in us that's constant. Those demons that are in us need to be faced and owned because those temptations are there. And Jesus faced them right there. And then the last one, deliverance. Deliver us from evil. When we live in between heaven and earth, we know that the world has a lot of evil in it. Amen? Okay. So, when we're talking about God's kingdom coming, we live in between heaven and earth at the same time. And he's called us to be his representatives, to be Jesus in the flesh on earth right now. And we live in between that being fulfilled. But we have to live as people that are like Jesus now before we get there. And so the whole idea is that we are kingdom people in covenant relationship with our Father, and we're here, but there's still an evil and there's still a battle that happens in our own lives. Amen? And so Jesus' prayer is just the same as the prayer in John 17, deliver them, protect them from the evil one, deliver them from the evil one. And that is our prayer as well. But at the same time, in our own lives, that's happening. But also, do you know of people in your own life right now that need to be delivered? And that's where prayer comes in. Do you know somebody who needs to be delivered from addictions? They need deliverance. Or deliverance from all kinds of things. Do we know people that need deliverance from cancer? They need healing in all kinds of areas of their life. Here's the deal: is there cancer in heaven? Is there heart attacks in heaven? Is there any sickness of any sort in heaven? No. So if there's none of that going on in heaven and he wants heaven to come to earth, then what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be like him and pray for and have the same authority as and enter into seeing those things through the power of God be delivered. That's the beauty, I think, of participating in the Lord's Prayer. That's our posture, is we are his kids and kingdom heirs, and we can enter into the deliverance process as well. And so think about those people in your life that need to be delivered in whatever capacity. And because we know that heaven's coming to earth, we want to participate in that and take that risk. What does that look like for you over the next 40 days? Write some names down. Hey, I did that in 20 minutes. There you go. Come on. So the thing I think about when I think about this prayer is it can be something that can be, as you know, it just becomes rote in our lives. Amen? I think what Jesus was offering is, here's how I walk with the Father. And he's teaching his disciples, here's how I want you to walk with the Father. These same six elements. And it's going to take you and will be the rest of your life. And how do you orient your life around this way? Because this is the way of Jesus. It's not just something that we technically do. It's not just something that we can kind of just say and it's like magic, because it's not that. It's actually our whole life. Amen? It's the whole thing that he's calling us to move into deeper and deeper ways, because that's what shapes us and forms us into being like Jesus. Because that's why we signed up, right? That's why we're here. That's why we got all dressed up this morning. Because we want to be like Jesus. We want to have his character, but we also want to have his competency. And that would be a good challenge for us as very orderly Presbyterians. Is, do I want to have the competence of Jesus and really press in and see the sick healed and cast out demons? All the stuff that Jesus did. Deliver them from evil. So I think we're going to come have one more song, right? And then I'll come up and give a blessing. Thank you.